Okay, hello everyone and welcome to our call today called How to Retrieve Your Energy. My name is Damien Sen and it's a great pleasure having you on the line today. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Art Geiser. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work today, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Art a whole series of questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through the site by you, our listeners. Now, I first actually met Art through a very dear friend of mine, Steve Noble. We had dinner together at Steve's house in London, and I just instantly got on with Art like a house on fire. We had lots of interesting things to share with each other, and I was totally fascinated by the way he uniquely blends two areas of real fascination for me, energy and NLP. Now, Art Geiser actually uncovered energetic NLP in 1985 and has spent the last 25 years studying with all the developers of NLP, and also has worked very closely with prominent spiritual leaders around the world to really craft what is a phenomenal modality. Without further ado, it gives me great pleasure to welcome the founder of Energetic NLP, Art Geiser, to the call. How are you doing there, Art?
Well, great. Well, thank you, Damien, for the wonderful introduction, and I want to thank everybody who's listening now and the people who will be listening in the future. It's really a great honor to spend this time with you all.
Awesome. Now, Art, I thought I'd just kick us off at the very top. And I was just wondering if you could actually explain or define what exactly is energy and how you uniquely use it to blend in with the principles of NLP.
Well, it was interesting. Somebody submitted the question, what is energy? And periodically people ask me this, and it's one of those questions where you go, gosh, I wish I had a really good answer for this. And looking on the internet to see what other people say, and it was funny, on one side, somebody just said, honestly, nobody knows what it is. And I thought, that's a really good explanation. But let me see if I can do a little better than that. The way most of us use the term energy when we're talking about spiritual and life force kind of work and healing work is to mean the what is normally invisible forces that work in our lives, that have a profound effect on our lives, I would even say are the most important factor on our lives. And human beings evolved through all these centuries to work with invisible energies. Now, if that sounds unusual to any of your listeners, one of these invisible energies is one that they're very familiar with and that nobody remotely understands, and that's gravity. Gravity is this energy, this force, and physicists are still trying to figure out what it is and explain it, and the numbers really don't add up right. They can't quite make sense. They consider four major forces in terms of physics, and gravity is the one they can't make sense of. And some of the leading theories include ideas that there are parallel invisible universes and gravity is bleeding in and out of them. And if you do the mathematics, that actually makes sense. So I find that a great comfort because it makes what I'm about to say sound fairly normal. And when I use the word energy, what I'm talking about is that there are these invisible forces around us. Some of them are the basis of life and the basis of everything that exists. And as we know from physics, everything is fundamentally energy. And so energy, the way I'm using it, are just normally, and I say normally because you can learn to recognize them, normally forces that we can't see, hear, or feel very directly, and that we can learn to see, hear, and feel that are the fundamental building block of everything, the basic pattern underneath everything.
Great. And how does it blend in with NLP? And maybe it's probably worth sharing with listeners what NLP is as well, for those who haven't heard of it.
Yes, NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And those of us in the field have always wished the original developers of it had picked a different name. But it actually is a good name. It's talking about how people think and behave and how that's related to the ways in which we think and the ways in which we feel. And that includes our conscious and our unconscious programming and belief systems. And NLP was started in the mid-1970s here in California. And it was started as an alternative to traditional therapies. That there's some of your listeners maybe have seen Woody Allen movies, and in one of his movies, he's talking to this woman he's involved with, and he goes, "Well, I've only been in therapy for 12 years." That was the old model. And I don't mean that as a criticism of traditional therapy. It's just the people that start NLP were aware of four or five therapists who could get magical changes with people, and often very, very rapidly. So they studied them and worked with them and developed this whole system that became neuro-linguistic programming. And I've been a trainer in that field since 1985. And it's really a fantastic field. And what I found, though, is I had also been studying energetic work, energy healing, psychic development, spiritual work. And I discovered that at times, if I took an NLP approach, it would work really well. And at other times, it really wouldn't take the person to the next level of their life, to what they're, what to really take them to their heart's desires. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners can relate to that. I mean, a lot of people that will be listening to this have spent years and years in personal development. And I'm sure they've all gotten a lot of benefits out of that. But there's certain areas of their life where they haven't gotten those benefits, where they go, this is still a problem, or this isn't any better, and why doesn't this shift in my life with all the work I put into it? One of the ideas in energy work is that any problem in your life that you've really worked on, and that could be an ongoing emotion, maybe somebody has ongoing anxiety or fear or ongoing relationship or financial problems or any kind of ongoing or reoccurring issues in your life that you can't solve, it's probably because it's not your energy. And what NLP didn't look at is the fact that along with the conscious mind and the unconscious mind and the programming and beliefs that exist in the unconscious mind, we have this whole energy system, and this energy system contains a lot of programming. And I like to tell people, you're not running your own life. Most of what you do is being done out of either your unconscious programming or even more likely out of your energetic programming. One of my early NLP teachers said that the major function of your conscious mind is to make up reasons for why your unconscious mind just did something. And we all see this in other people. We see in our friends and people that we care about the patterns that they run. And they always have excuses for them, but the people run pattern after pattern after pattern. And in energetic NLP, what we found was that sometimes using NLP we could make deep and powerful changes or help people access new abilities and deep hidden resources. And other times it just didn't really work. And in the same way, I would find sometimes energetically I could just work with somebody's energy and their life would change. And other times I would run into blocks on that. And what I started doing is when things wouldn't shift energetically, I would go into an NLP mode. And when things wouldn't change with NLP, I'd go into an energetic mode. And then I started combining them all together so that energetic NLP includes intuition development, the development of skills that most people would call psychic phenomena, the development of transformative and energetic healing abilities, and combining that with the techniques and the concepts and the ways of thinking of NLP to create something that goes way beyond any of the individual systems.
That's amazing. Now, I mentioned lots of interesting things in that section up, which I will pick up on in a second. But before we go deeper into the topic, I'm very curious about your own personal journey and how you were drawn into these fascinating two fields and then blending them together for people.
Well, I was somebody who was always very, very logical. And my father was an electrical engineer. In fact, he was in charge of, I think, the third commercial computer in operation, something like that. And I was always proud of my abilities with logic, and I still am very pleased to have those abilities. I would also was always very fascinated when I'd hear about hypnosis and ESP and dreams, and started having experiences at times when I was younger, but I really shut them off. And when I was in my first year at university, through a lot of circumstances, I, for the first time in my life, experienced depression. And I'm not the kind of person who has depression. So I really didn't know what to do with that. And I was really shifting my identity in a lot of ways. And it was truly the worst period of my life. And what started happening is I would be in one of these study rooms in the libraries. And, you know, when you go to the doctor and the doctor hits your knee and your leg twitches automatically?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I would be reading and studying, and all of a sudden my head would, like, turn. And when my head, and without, just completely automatically, it was like that same kind of reflex response. My head would turn, and when my head would stop, I would be staring into somebody's eyes. And when you're in university and you're in a study room, you know, it's a lot of young men and women, and people are looking at one another. It would freak other people out because, you know, there was no way I should have known they were doing it. And all of a sudden, I would just, boom, be staring in their eyes, and they'd get very embarrassed, and I'd get uncomfortable. Occasionally, it actually was a good thing, but usually I didn't know. And I spent a lot of time turning that off. I mean, I knew that I was feeling their energy, and I didn't know what that meant or how it worked, but I wisely at the time knew that I wasn't handling it well. So I spent years, like, turning it back off. And then much later, when I started getting involved with NLP, I had studied some energy work of different kinds and had some pretty interesting experiences. And then somebody was in my NLP training said, well, there's this man I know. He's very psychic. He's visiting town, and we're having a bunch of people over. Do you want to come and see him? And I went, sure. This is a man named Lynn Martin. And I got there late, and everybody was sitting in a circle, and he had his eyes closed, and everybody was asking him a question. And when he would answer the questions, if they asked about a decision, he'd always go, you have free will. It's not for me to tell you what to do.
Mm.
But then he would answer other questions, and often it didn't seem like anything all that profound to me in his answer, but I would look at the person who had asked the question, and they would look shocked or moved or get teary-eyed. And so I realized he was saying things that were very, very significant to them. Mm. And when it got to my turn, I went, well, I'm studying NLP, and I don't know what to do with it. What I want to do with it. Do I want to bring it into corporate work? Do I want to do an NLP practice? And I was really in a quandary around it. Mm. And he did his usual, well, you have free will. It's not for me to tell you what to do. And then he goes, but there's something else. And he proceeded to tell me my deepest, most horrible fear that I had never mentioned to anybody, and I still have never mentioned it to anybody. And he said it, and I'm sure it didn't sound like that big a deal to anybody else, but I was like stunned. And then he looked, and then with his eyes closed, he then goes, you don't have to worry about that, and went on to the next person. And I felt this enormous release.
Wow.
And a week later, I was studying with him, and everything built from there. And then I was lucky enough to have had two empowerments from the Dalai Lama, to have worked with healers from and psychics and spiritual people from Western traditions and Indian traditions, and John of God, who's this incredible healer down in Brazil. He doesn't teach, but he's helped me develop my abilities. And so I've been really, really blessed to not only study with all the developers of NLP, but to study with these incredible people from all over the world. And energetic NLP is what the best I've learned from all of them.
Mm, absolutely amazing to have those two very unique perspectives in the world, and to have guidance from leaders in both of those two fields and modalities.
I've been really blessed. I'm so appreciative.
Amazing. Now, I just wanted to pick up on something that you mentioned earlier, which I find fascinating, and you're talking about the two different fields, and you're saying that solutions for, like, in NLP terms, sometimes don't work, and then applied energy may work, or NLP may work, and energy may not. I was just wondering if you could actually share an insight into this flexible way of working and actually bringing out the tool that's right for the particular situation, and if the tool isn't right, then moving on rather than actually being, I guess, dogmatic in the term of applying one particular frame.
That's a great question. Let me see if I can give it a good answer. A simple way to think about it, which is the way I think about it, is that when you learn to work with people's energy, and something I should have said earlier is every human being on the planet can work with energy. They can detect it and work with it. It is not some special gift that you have to go sit in a cave for 20 years and be born with a certain soul or the right genetics. Everybody can do it. Now, it's like anything else in life. People will find their particular skill set within it and what really is expressive of them. And in my training programs, I often tell people the first day that my goal is by the end of this program, you'll be less impressed with me and more impressed with yourself. So everybody can. And one way to think of it is people's lives are run by a mixture of agendas. So there's what people consciously want. And this is as the conscious being somebody is right now, this moment, what they choose in life. And then anybody who's studied psychology or NLP can tell you, though, there's also all the different energetic beliefs and programming that goes on. And everybody's experienced this. It's when people go, well, part of me wants to do this, but part of me doesn't. Part of me wants to get married. Part of me wants freedom. Part of me wants a new job. Part of me wants to have my own business. And this people get this experience of different sets of values and programs running in them. And there's nothing wrong with that because parents have to program children. If they didn't program children, children wouldn't be able to, we're social creatures. They wouldn't be able to live in any kind of society. They would run out in front of cars. They would, you know, they have to be programmed. Anybody who's old enough to be listening to this, though, is old enough to let go of family programming and societal programming and your teacher's programming and to start connecting with your own inner wisdom and with your own spirit and to run your life out of your inner wisdom and your own spiritual information. In energetic NLP, it's always my goal with people, whether it's a one-on-one session or a training program, that people constantly increase that connection with their inner wisdom and their spirit and be able to bring that into their daily actions and decisions and emotions and relationships and goals and problem solving. And in fact, the more you get into this, the less decisions you'll make. And what I mean by that is the more you'll just know. And I know, Damien, you're the kind of person, you make a lot of life decisions because you just know. Absolutely. Like, I think, didn't you tell me that you know you're supposed to be in California right now?
Exactly. It's almost like practicing no mind, where it's not my conscious thinking that's making the decisions. It's some guiding force that's giving me a heads up about what I need to do and when.
Exactly, and that guiding force, some people think of that as God or angels or guides or some kind of guiding force. Some people think of it more as themselves, as a bigger spiritual being. And in my work, I have people think about a lot of different beliefs. I don't advocate any particular set of beliefs because the goal is for people, again, to connect with their own inner wisdom and their own spiritual information. And when you do that, you just have the state of knowing, as you said. You just know. And some of the people listening may be familiar with Eckhart Tolle, who wrote the very popular and good book called The Power of Now. And I saw him being interviewed by Oprah Winfrey, and he was saying, I actually missed part of it. I think he was in England at the time, though he's not from England, and he just all of a sudden knew that he was supposed to come to California and write a book, and he didn't know what it was about. I mean, that's all he knew, and he did it. He just came. I think he went to Canada briefly, and then he came to California and just started writing the book and discovered what it was about as he was writing it. So that's an example of being in charge of your life but not making a decision. So in energetic NLP, the goal is for people to not have their life run by all this programming, or whether it's unconscious programming or energetic programming, and not be run by the programming that runs through families or cultures or societies, to really be in charge of your own life, to do that, again, guided by your own inner wisdom and spirit. So this is kind of a long way to explain. In working with people in energetic NLP, sometimes things will just often, in fact, just shift energetically. You learn how, and this is what I teach people to do, you learn how to be able to detect limiting beliefs and old programming in somebody else. And it's not that I determine what that is. You hook into their inner wisdom and their spirit and get shown what to help them with. And if it will just shift that way, then fine. And the other part of that is it's not just all about clearing, but it's about healing and enhancing. So the other part of that is energetically helping people connect to the phenomenal abilities that people have that they haven't dreamed that they have. That I mean, every human being on this planet is an incredibly powerful spiritual being. And our goal in energetic NLP is for people to more and more be able to tap into what they really are and to make that more manifest in their life. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes you can't do it just energetically because there's a conscious belief they have that they need to look at, or there's a decision that they need to make. And when that's true, you won't be able to shift things just energetically. Mm-hmm. And that's when I switch to a very direct NLP mode and look at, you know, what's the belief that they have and help them to explore it, or what's the learning that they haven't. So it's usually either a conscious belief that they need to examine. It can be a learning that they haven't made yet, so their soul literally won't let them let go of a pattern because they haven't gotten the point of it yet.
Right.
And other times it's they have free will and they need to make a decision about something. And I keep using the word need, but it really is a need. And then in those cases, then a practitioner of energetic NLP can draw upon very direct NLP skills to help people with that. So it's this dance between what can be done just energetically, which is a lot, and when the person's conscious being needs to be involved, because there's choices for them to make and learnings for them to have.
Fantastic.
And it's different with every person every time. So it's there's no formula. It's always tailored to that person.
Yeah, I just love the fact that it is tuned into the individual and what that individual needs and what they're actually working through in this incarnation on this earth plane. It's just a very dynamic and flexible modality that really just hones into what's needed at that level, which is amazing.
That's exactly right. And to me, it's so respectful of the person, because who am I to tell somebody that I know what's right for them? And even if I'm right, I'm still disempowering them. And it's my job to help them, not necessarily consciously make decisions, but again, to bring in their inner wisdom and their spirit so they're guided in what to do, and they're creating the life and the future for themselves. It's what they want, not what I want or any other energetic NLP practitioner wants for them. And I find the work really exciting, and it's constantly fascinating with people.
That's awesome. Now, Art, I was just wondering if we could actually give people an experience of energetic NLP, just to really give them something to really hold on to and to experience for themselves. And I was just wondering if we could walk through a process that would really help people to do that now.
Absolutely. And just a couple of frames for the listeners. In energetic NLP, one of the things that we stress is the ability to do remote energy work. And remote energy work means that you can work with energy when you're face-to-face with somebody. You can just as easily work with their energy if you're thousands of miles away. And 99% of my client work is done over the telephone, and at least half of it is with people that are on different continents than I am. And again, this is not a special ability that I have. It's an ability that everybody has. And it's fascinating to me that physics is finding the same phenomena, and it's called in physics entanglement. And they can take two atoms and get them connected, and then they can separate those atoms by even thousands of miles. And when you do one thing to one atom, the other atom instantly responds at a speed that's faster than the speed of light. And it's called entanglement. And there's an interesting book people might like called Entangled Minds by Dean Rankin, where he goes through a lot of the research and he talks about the implications for the human energy system. So in the kinds of energies that we're working with, location is unimportant. In physics, it's called non-locality, and it's a property of wave phenomena, and it just doesn't matter. So when people are listening to this, and it doesn't matter if they're listening to it right now or if they're listening to it later, in their minds, or in your mind, I should say, Dolph, if you're listening, if you give me permission, I'll help you with this energy work too. And when I say I help you, it won't be from my energy. It'll be what you learn to do in energetic NLP is not work with people out of your own energy, but out of Earth and universal energies. Because if I work with people out of my energy, I'm just programming them again. Where Earth and universal energies are like food, that you metabolize them and use them. So anybody who wants to go through this process, you might imagine giving me permission to work with you. And what I mean by that is your inner wisdom and your spirit are going to be in charge of what happens. I'm just helping the energy flows. Mm. And a couple of principles about energetic NLP. One is that energy follows your thought and intention. Again, energy follows thought and intention. And it's very exciting to me now that there are numerous scientific experiments. And I didn't mention earlier, I managed a research lab for 11 years for the University of California Medical School here in reproductive endocrinology, so I know a little bit about research, that they can take people and hook them up to physiological instruments, and then they can have people who are in another room or are at a great distance, and the people that are at a great distance think positive energy at the people that are hooked up to these machines. And the people that are hooked up to the machines have no idea when it's happening, and the people running these physiological instruments, they don't know when it's happening either. And when the people start thinking positive energy, people's physiological responses improve. And when they stop doing it, they gradually go back down to where they were. And this has been repeated many, many times. So this isn't a theory. I mean, how it works is a theory. But that there is energy, that it is affected by thinking, is absolutely established now in science. And some people hate to admit it in science, but this is studies now. And so energy follows thought. A principle from NLP is that you can access your unconscious inner resources by using metaphors and symbols. And everybody knows that their dreams are hard to interpret at times because dreams are very symbolic and metaphoric, because that's a language that the unconscious mind likes to speak in. And you can use that when you're awake. So one of the things that we do in energetic NLP, and other people do it too, of course, is we use different metaphors. And they're not to be taken literally. They're metaphors to allow your unconscious mind to work with the principles. So energy will follow thought and intention. We use metaphor to get our unconscious mind activated. The third principle is the more childlike and playful you are, the easier it is to do all of this. If I had a group of five-year-olds on the phone and I said, okay, imagine you're inside of a golden ball of energy that's really wonderful and healing, they would do it. It'd be done 2 seconds later. You know, they wouldn't worry if it was working or did it make any sense or what does that mean. They'd just do it and they'd giggle and it would be there. I mean, you'd feel it. It would be real. So everybody on the phone, I invite you, just treat this as kind of a game or an experiment. It doesn't put aside whether it's working or not working, and just try it. And I'll let people know that along with this recording that – and we'll tell them later. On my website, there's other free guided audios and videos. So they don't, if they're not in a position to take notes, don't worry about it. You can either listen to this interview again, or you can go to my website and learn the technique. Okay, so now, and this fits in, by the way, with Damien, with I know a couple of the questions that were there. What I'm going to teach people to do is a way to first clear your energy and then retrieve your own energy. And it's so simple, these two processes in the basic form, that some of the people listening will go, it can't be that easy. And in fact, it is that easy. Now, the average person, when I look at them, they're lucky if 2% of the energy in their energy field is their own true energy, 2%. And if somebody gets up to 20%, I'm very impressed. People who study energetic NLP, they should have a baseline of at least 50% their own energy and often more like 80%. You don't need to have 100% of your own energy in your space, but you want to have more and more of your own. And the reason for that, again, is that energy carries programming and information. And if that sounds odd to anybody, you know, I'm speaking to you over the telephone, which is turning my words into energy and then back into words. It's taking my information and transmitting it through energy. Computers use energy to transmit information. Mobile phones, DVDs, CDs, old cassettes. I mean, everything, almost all of our modern age is based on using energy to send information. So there's nothing out there about that idea. So when people, as you go through the day, people absorb energies from around their environment. They absorb from other people and places. I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with the concept of road rage, where people get crazy and angry on the highway. Most of the reason why that happens is people are frustrated and angry and upset a lot or irritated on the highway, and the energy starts accumulating. So somebody who has that tendency, all of a sudden, because like energies can attract like energies, a person gets a little upset, and all of a sudden they start pulling in anger that's all around the highway. It's just energies that people have left. And all of a sudden they're enraged, and they don't know why. They make up reasons to themselves, but they don't know why.
That's fascinating.
and by the way, this is the same principle about why people go to public concerts and movies. I mean, nowadays you can listen, you can often hear a music better through a wonderful set of earphones, and you will at a lot of concerts. But people pick up on the energy of the crowd. It's why a scary movie is enormously more frightening in a movie theater, and a funny movie is funnier, and a romantic movie is more touching. It's because we pick up on each other's energy. The last time I was in the UK, I remember walking by a pub, and there was a whole group of people crowded. The whole town was quiet. It was a little village outside of London, but this one pub was mobbed with people watching the soccer match. And the TV in the pub was probably not any bigger than a lot of their TVs, but the group energy was why they were there, because they actually resonate with one another and get more and more excited. So this can be a positive or negative phenomena, but people always want to return to their own energy. Anything else is unhealthy. And if your listeners, if people were to look at their hands right now and just imagine, what would your hands look like if you never, ever washed them in your entire life? And that's the way your energy field looks. And not yours, particularly Damien. Energy works. You're actually up pretty high. I'd say you're at least 40% your energy, which is, I rarely meet people who are up at that level. But everybody needs to make it a daily part of, it's like brushing your teeth. It's something you do every day. It can be done really simply. So my explanation took way longer than the technique's going to take. So first we're going to clear other people's energies out of your space, and then people will learn how to retrieve their own energy. And again, I invite people, just be playful, have fun with it. So for everybody, a lot of people are familiar with this, but think of your energy field as being in your body, but also around your body, and kind of like a more or less egg-shaped shell around people. And energy from other people and from groups and gets stuck in your energy field. It gets stuck literally in your body and the energy centers that are often called chakras, and your energy field around your body that many people call an aura. So we're going to just start clearing it. Now, it's important not to force this. In the trainings, I teach people what to do when energy won't leave. For right now, if people just remove the energy that leaves easily, it'll be a huge improvement. So I want everybody who's on this call to raise your right hand and solemnly swear that you're not going to work at this, that you're going to be playful and just have fun with it and not force anything, because the more you force, the resistance causes more resistance. Now, all of us have played with a magnet when we were a child, and your unconscious mind knows that a magnet is this thing that has all this energy, and it can take a little piece of metal and just make it fly through the air to it. I mean, everybody's seen this, and everybody played with this when they were a child. So your unconscious mind gets this metaphor. I'd like everybody to imagine that 20 feet, which is about 7 meters in front of them, there's this really big magnet the size of a refrigerator. And imagine that it has the power to pull other people's energies gently and still very powerfully out of your space. And when the energies pull out of your space, they just go and stick to the magnet. And then give permission for your inner wisdom and your spirit now to start going through your body and your energy field and identifying energies that aren't really you and start releasing them to the magnet. And sometimes it helps to focus on different areas like the front of the head and the inside of the head. And imagine energies coming out of the throat. Now, when I do this, I like to imagine little shapes and forms and squiggles and clouds coming off into the magnet, just because that entertains me and I like cartoons. And people, you don't need to know what you're letting go of. Your wisdom and your spirit can figure that out better than your conscious mind. But just let other people's energy and programming start going off to that magnet in front of you. And I'm curious, Damien, what do you notice when you do that?
I had two subtle releases. Like one, when you initially kicked it off, like I felt a movement from my heart energy. It was almost like a cloud formation that just moved upwards and out. And also felt a subtle release around my crown as well.
Excellent.
Just with another almost like cloud formation. Just releasing from the energy body.
Very good. And the heart's a great area to release from. The solar plexus, which is right below the sternum where the ribcage divides, the whole abdominal area, and particularly right below the navel, and the base of the spine. These are all major energy centers. But also the legs, knees, feet, ankles. And then people can just imagine however much energy is on that magnet, just let the magnet drop into the earth and let the earth absorb so that it actually goes into the center of the earth. And the earth will work with that energy and recycle it. And if it belongs to other people, if the earth wants to return it to them, it will. Just let go of it and assume the right things will happen with that energy. And then I'd like people to imagine another magnet, again, large as a refrigerator, only this one's floating high above your head, maybe, again, 20 feet, 7 meters. And let it start clearing the top of your energy field. And there's an enormous amount of programming that's in the top of our energy field, and that includes the top of the head, the space right above the head. And then as you go up higher above the head, there's the above-the-body energy centers, or out-of-body chakras, people call them. And these are very important energy centers. And consciously, if you're listening now, you don't need to know where they are. Your wisdom and spirit knows all about it. You just let your whole upper energy field get cleared. And if something won't go, that's okay. Just notice it for now. Just let the things that easily go, go. In that area on the very top of people's head, it's almost like there's a DVD sitting on top of people's head, and it's like a DVD you can put in your computer where you can write things and erase them and rewrite. But just give permission for your wisdom and spirit to start pulling some of the programming out of the top of your head into that magnet. And as this happens, your wisdom and your spirit rewrite that DVD and replace the programming with your wisdom and your spiritual information. And then let that magnet just float off, and I usually just let it float off into the sun and let the sun recycle the energy. Now, a lot of energy is literally stuck right behind people's backs. A lot of us, when we were children, have played the game where you stand right behind another child and they don't know you're there, but your other friends know, and you may put horns over their head or make faces, and then they finally figure out there's somebody standing behind them. Well, a lot of energy literally hides right behind people's back. So imagine another magnet 20 feet, 7 meters behind you, and let it clear the back of your energy field, and particularly the back of the head, the back of the neck, the shoulders and shoulder blades and between your shoulder blades, the whole area down your spine, and that powerful energy center in the base of the spine, let that get cleared. In the back of your legs, knees, feet. And then let's drop that magnet into the center of the earth and let the energy be recycled. And we're going to do one more magnet because your energy field goes below your feet. So put a magnet 20 feet, 7 meters in the ground below your feet and let it clear your feet and all the energy centers in your feet, the soles of your feet and your toes, and let it clear all the energy centers that are below your feet. And let that magnet drop into the center of the earth. So now, and that's it. And with practice, you can do that whole process in a minute. And it's something I do every morning when I wake. First thing when I wake up, I do it, and I do it before I go to bed. I'll talk more about that. But now we want to retrieve energy. Now, we just as other people leave their energy in our space, as we go throughout the day, we leave our energy in other people's space, often because we're trying to help them. We have opinions about what they should or shouldn't do. We're trying to help them. Sometimes somebody's not well, and we leave them energy trying to heal them. Or maybe because we're angry at somebody, we leave sort of a punishing energy in their space. And this is all done very unconsciously. And you want to be able to retrieve all of your energy and bring it back in your body. So I'd like everybody to imagine a golden ball of energy and just pretend it's like a magnet for your energy, and it's going to pull your energy back. And put that golden ball of energy high above your head and just give your wisdom and spirit to work with it, permission now to work with it, and to start pulling back your energy from wherever you've scattered it. You've left it in the past, it's in the present, it's in the future, it's in all kinds of other people, you've left it in places. And just gently and firmly, your gold ball starts retrieving all of your energy. And as it does this, if some of your energy is in somebody else's energy field trying to help them, just imagine that energies from the earth and spiritual energies come in that are going to help them more than your energy did. And then as your energy starts gathering in that gold ball, imagine that the gold ball starts cleaning that energy and making it sparkly and charging it up. And then give your inner wisdom and spirit permission to look through that energy. And if it's really, truly your energy, it gets beamed into your body. If it's not really your energy, it just gets beamed into the earth, transmitted into the earth. And then gold energy comes down from that ball and fills up any space that was left in your energy field. As Aristotle said, that nature abhors a vacuum. So we want to fill up all this space with gold energy. And any excess gold energy just goes out your hands and feet. And that's it, Damien. That's that very simple process for retrieving energy. I really recommend that people do this clearing and retrieving when they first wake up in the morning. And I'm the kind of person, I wake up really groggy, and I'm not a morning person. After I do this, I'm like eager to get up and face the day. It's a great thing to do before you go to sleep, because then you'll sleep more soundly and deeply. Because if you have other people's energy in your space when you fall asleep, it'll affect your dreams and your whole quality of your sleep. So again, it's a very easy process.
Yeah, I'm just tuning in. When we're actually doing the retrieval part of the process, just feel my whole chest just expanding. It was almost like it was so full of, it's almost like my heart couldn't be contained by my rib cage and my chest. It was amazing. Just that feeling.
And what you're saying is very profound, because the heart chakra really can be bigger than the chest. So don't force it smaller. A lot of us think it should be inside of our chest. It can be much bigger than that. And you have a big heart, so let it be big. Heart energy centers.
Brilliant. So I hope everyone, no doubt, will get some fantastic movements of energy and retrievals of energy with that process. It's amazing. I'm certainly going to listen to the recording and do that over and over again. It's really, really useful, Art. Thanks for that.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Great. Now, we actually have a couple of minutes now just to run through some questions that were sent in from listeners. And I'm actually just going to pick up on one from Chris, who is in the UK. And Chris asks, I have been self-employed, starting, building, then selling businesses since 1982, five altogether. But since I sold my last business, retail photo processing operation, 3 years ago, the business would have kept me motivated and working well even when one is a little off colour. My wife and I got divorced around the same time, and our three children have now grown and flown. I find it very difficult to motivate myself and constantly feel lethargic. I have dramatically changed my diet, which has helped, but I still can't get my head together. Any ideas?
Yeah, that's a great question to go through. Most of the time when people feel lethargic, and we've done a lot of work, and my colleague in the UK, Olive Hickmont, has done a lot of work with people with even like chronic fatigue and ME and fibromyalgia. When people are really tired, and now, of course, if you're getting 2 hours sleep every night, that's different. But it's almost always because your energy is clogged. So doing those two processes that we just did, often people feel whole revitalization and a whole new wave of energy. I know when I'm tired, if I do that, I feel incredibly better, and that's what I teach my students to do. And everybody reports that it just really takes them from that lethargy to being re-energized. So those two processes should make a huge difference. And in the training programs, of course, we go through more processes to take that even further. But just those two processes alone would really help Chris. Because as I look at Chris, and again, if that sounds odd to some of the people here, everybody who goes through the training program can do it. Chris's energy is so clogged up with other people's expectations and energies that it's like he can't find himself, and that's why he doesn't feel motivated. Some of the signs that people's energy is really clogged is feeling really tired. Often people put on weight. It's hard to make decisions. You can feel really demotivated because you're not in contact with your own essence. Mm. And it just makes people really tired and demotivated and confused.
Mm. Mm. That's an excellent answer. And hopefully that helps, Chris. Now, this is a question from Andrew, who is in South Africa. And Andrew asks, I have been blessed with abundant energy. I am the most energetic person I know. How do I tone down this energy or this excess energy when I am with people who are not as blessed as I am?
Yeah, I would say rather than tone it down, I really appreciate what he's trying to do, is to kind of channel it so it's not going through the other people. So one way to do this, and one of the things that we teach people to do even in businesses is, in the U.S. we call them lightning rods, and I forget what other countries call them, but they're the pieces of metal people put on their houses that have a wire that go into the earth so that if lightning hits the house, it just goes out the wire down into the earth and doesn't hit the house. And we call them lightning rods. Andrew, and people, so anybody listening to this, you can use this as a way to keep other people's energy out of your space or to keep yourself from overwhelming other people. Is you put out a little symbol between you and the other person, and the symbol can be anything you want. It can be a flower, a tree, a star, a box, a circle, any symbol. And if you and I were doing it, Damien, I wouldn't imagine it between like our faces, but I would put it low enough that it doesn't interfere with our conversation. And I imagine this symbol, and I imagine it has a tube or a wire that goes deep into the earth, and that as you and I are speaking, your energy comes to the symbol where I can still consciously or unconsciously read it, but not bring it into my energy field, and it just goes into the earth. And conversely, my energy, when it comes out of my space, hits this symbol and is grounded into the earth. So this is something that any of your listeners can use if they're around somebody who's upset or agitated or in an emotional mood that you don't want to be affected by, depressed. And you can use it the other way, that if you're, some of us have a lot of energy and can sort of blow other people away. So by doing a grounded symbol like that, your energy just goes into the earth and doesn't affect them as strongly. Mm. And in the case of Andrew, he may want to then even have that wire come back into him so he keeps that energy cycling through his space, but not cycling through their space.
Mm.
It's real. None of us were taught energetic manners, how to keep our energy out of other people's space. And a lot of the problems between people are because we're broadcasting out our energy into their energy field. And even when it's well-intended, it can be very uncomfortable.
Mm.
So learning how to have some control over that.
Mm.
But he doesn't have to turn his energy down, just not broadcast it to them.
Yeah, that's an excellent answer and a great question, Andrew. Now, I'm just going to squeeze in a live question as well, and this one comes from Iris, who is in Ireland. And I know lots of our callers are people who do work in group environments, and one of the aspects of Iris's question was, how can she best protect their energy when working with groups? Like, do these principles actually hold true in these group environments as well?
Fantastic question. Yes, I do it not just with my small groups. I do it also with corporate groups, with hundreds of people at one time. You can use these same principles. So when you're with a group of people, even if it's a good meeting or gathering or workshop, people are releasing a lot of energy and emotions, and it can start affecting things in a negative way. So with a group, you can imagine these same kind of magnets and just keep clear. You can have like magnets in all four walls of the room, and every now and then just imagine clearing the energy in the room and have it go into the earth. And then imagine bringing in gold energy, or another color might occur to a person, but gold is always safe. And bring those clean energies into the room. So, and we teach this a lot in the programs, but the basic idea is it's just like when you're having a party. You don't try to force people to be happy, but you do set an environment where it's easy for them to have fun and be social or whatever the purpose of the gathering is. So if it's a business meeting, I just keep trying to clear the energy, and I imagine bringing in energies of collaboration, of creative problem solving, of respect, of people being at their best. So I don't try to control people in any specific way energetically, because that's a very bad idea. I mean, it can work, but it's a very bad idea. And I think it's out of integrity. But you set it up, but I can be with a corporate group of hundreds of people, and I can just keep clearing the energy in the room, bringing in energies of respect, of collaboration, of bringing out the best in everybody, and it phenomenally changes whatever's happening. And you can do the same in a workshop or seminar or a family meeting or sales call. But with the sales call, again, I wouldn't try to bring in energy of you should buy or something. Again, that's, I really don't recommend that, but you can bring in an energy, again, of collaboration or whatever's appropriate that will help that sale if it makes sense.
Mm.
It can be used in any kind of life context, these same tools.
Mm.
There's some other more advanced ones, but even just those, well, I mean, there's a lot of more advanced ones where you can do a lot more, but just those two alone will make a big difference.
Yeah, that's an excellent answer, and thank you, Iris, for the question. Well, Ad, we've come to the end of our hour, and I literally feel we could speak for hours and hours and hours. This terrain is of great fascination for me, and I know lots of people around the world are fascinated by both energy work and NLP, and I guess the incredible way that you blend these two modalities together has been absolutely delightful to experience tonight or today, wherever you are in the world. And I certainly have had I feel my whole energy body is resonating at a completely different level just as a result of working through those processes. So I just wanted to thank you personally for that as well.
Oh, you're very well.
Before I get you to share your upcoming programs and how people can stay in touch with you, I just wanted to read out a little testimonial that came in. Yes, we do get testimonials sent in regularly from our speakers, and it's always nice to have that public recognition of the work. And this testimonial actually came in from Imogen, who is in the UK. And Imogen says, back in 2009, Art spotted that I gave my energy away very easily and helped me work with this on a teleseminar. Over the next 48 hours, I saved over £500 in intended spending. Since then, Art has helped me in a number of ways, including a recent dramatic improvement in how I care for myself after years of depression. He is an extraordinarily gifted healer. That's a beautiful testimonial from Imogen.
Well, that was,
I just thought I'd share that for everyone as well.
But Jen, if you're listening, that was really sweet of you to do that. I'm all blushing. That's great.
Cool, Art. So I was just wondering if you could share now how people can find out more about this work and go deeper into this modality. Like you mentioned earlier on, you've got some great free things on your website as well for people to check out also.
It's my website is www.energeticnlp.com. So that's E-N-E-R-G-E-T-I-C, and the letters NLP.com. And there are, I do a lot of free teleseminars. If people sign up, they'll be notified about that on the site. And the site's just been redone by Catherine Ryle, who's a great web designer. And it's not quite finished, but it is working. And there are a number of free audios and videos, and there will be more and more every day. Taking people through some energetic processes like we did, but a number of other ones. There are recorded teleseminars. I do a free program every Saturday called ChangeTheWorldFromYourLivingRoom.com. Again, ChangeTheWorldFromYourLivingRoom.com. And that's we do meditative work to help people in other parts of the world. And at the end, every time, everybody gets a personal healing. And a lot of people tell me it's like the highlight of their week. And I do a number of training. I do a number of programs in energetic NLP. Some are training programs. Some are topics like on prosperity and energizing your business and relationships. And all that information can be found at the website. I have upcoming programs in the UK, some shorter ones end of September, and then training programs and some also one-day programs coming up in November. And I'll be speaking at the National NLP Conference in London in November. I have training programs coming up in the United States, Brazil, France, Israel, and possibly Germany. And I do want to say, and I'm never, as my clients tell me, I suck at selling. And one of my default responses is, I always try to give people easy way out. It's like, oh, here's these two great things, and you can do 8,000 things with them. And I had a bit of a revelation a few months ago where I realized that how grateful I was that my mentors didn't do that to me. They didn't just give me easy, cheap ways out. And so I want to encourage people to avail themselves of all the free things, and I'm thrilled when people do it. And for anybody who feels drawn to this, we're not even scratching the surface yet. And what I want for people is huge. I want people to feel like their wisdom and their spirit are an active component of every part of their life. I want people to feel joy. And even when life isn't good, to have an ongoing inner strength. And I told a client of mine recently, my goal for you is no matter what happens in life, you'll be fine. And you'll have that spiritual center. So I see what's possible when people go deeper and deeper into this work, and people make amazing shifts in their life. So I encourage people, if they feel called to this, to really think about coming to some of the training programs. Oh, and I forgot to mention, in July, I will be offering some special programs. I'll be at a spiritual center in Brazil, and Brazil is a country, and I won't go into the whole story now, where it's easy to connect with miracle energies. And in these calls, and I've done them, this will be about the fifth time I've done them, I help people connect with miracle energies and bring them into their lives. And miracle energies, the short explanation is, they're where we go beyond logic, and things happen that we can't figure out a logical way for them to happen. And everybody has this in their lives. And then we have all this programming that things have to be logical, and yet we have miraculous lives. So the goals of these programs, people really tap into these phenomenal energies of miracles and start having more and more wonderful miracles in their lives. Mm. So if they go to my website, they'll be able to get the information on all of this. So again, energeticnlp.com.
Awesome. And, I certainly endorse all of the work that you're doing, Art. I think it's phenomenal, phenomenal work.
Thank you so much.
Great. Now, Art, I was just wondering, we've come to the end of our call, and I was just wondering if you had some final words of inspiration for people who would like to work more energetically and using the power of NLP to really connect with the deep spiritual essence while they're here on this planet Earth.
You would ask that question. No. As people can probably figure out, I do like to have fun at the trainings, and we laugh a lot, and I work you hard. I guess my final words would be that I mean this completely with my heart when I say that every human being on this planet is a phenomenally powerful spiritual being, and that my goal in life is to have more and more people tap into even just a little bit of that. And the more that they tap into it, the more the world will be a better place, the more they'll have joyful and wonderful lives. And I just really want people to look in the mirror and go, I am so much more than I imagined that I am, and that it's really, really fun. I was working with a client before this call today, and at one point he goes, this is just so much fun. And I went, it is. I've been doing this, more than 25 years now, and it's really fun, and it's constantly growing and constantly exciting. And I just really urge people to explore this area. I can't imagine my life without it, and I know that most of my students tell me the same thing. They just can't imagine what their lives would be like without it. So I really wish everybody a fantastic spiritual journey in this life, and that they really open up to letting it be joyful.
Mm. Beautiful words to finish on up. Great. Well, that brings us to the end of our call, everyone. We have actually recorded this call, and we'll be making it available on our website tomorrow. The calls are put up online, and they're made available for free for the very reason that they're here to serve all of humanity and really help transform people throughout the world. So if you do actually feel moved by this message, I encourage you to first of all listen to the recording again and really go through the processes that Art has walked us through today, but also to actually reach out and share this powerful teaching with other people. It's by taking these small step forwards and actually helping or guiding people around us to inspiring material that we can actually make a quantum shift as a human race. So I encourage you all to do that. Great. So that brings us to the end of the call. And Art, I just really wanted to take this opportunity to, first of all, thank you for sharing the last hour with us, but also just to acknowledge the incredible work that you've been doing over the past 25 years, like to dedicate your life to these two amazing modalities and blend them in the way that you do and offer it to the world is really remarkable. And I feel very privileged to have had this call today, and I'm sure everyone has enjoyed it from wherever they've listened in around the world. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity. And in case somebody's listening to this recording later, Damien's site is, there are a lot of wonderful interviews on there, so I really hope you'll all avail yourself of that resource. And thank you so much, Damien. This is great, great fun, and the energy of the group who's on the call is really, really wonderful. So you attract really wonderful people, and I appreciate that.
Cool. Thanks, Art. And thank you once again, everyone at home. We'll speak to you soon.
Bye. Bye.